I read it from a reputable green team site. This is from the CelticsBlog.com, right, Murray?
Correct.
Okay. Bobby Manning wrote this the other day, and it was just a survey of the players that came out of the third lottery position. Not the third pick, but the teams that started with the third lottery position and what happened. He said,
This is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
I'm going to bomb this.
So that's where I got it from, Dave, just by the way.
You're going to help out the show a lot because Windows 8 doesn't even use a mic. Obosh Ranch.
Yeah, so that's what we got right there. Got my Obosh Ranch hat and all that good stuff. Can you see me?
Yeah, but your room's wicked dark. And then the sun's blasting in from the window.
So should I turn away from the window?
Yeah, if you flip around and open the shade, you're going to look great.
You said open the shade?
Yeah.
Can you see me now?
Yeah. Have you gotten new glasses yet?
No, I gotta fix them. I gotta fix them soon.
They've been broken for like a year.
A couple months now. I'm about to fix them. I'm literally gonna fix them like tomorrow or the next day or the next day. The next day.
Well, type shit. Let's do this.
You can hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a surprise. All right, let's get it.
This is Bobcast, and it's the weekend. We're getting our whole lineup secured for the weeks here. Probably one weekly guest and a rotation of familiar personalities to the show. We are talking to Anthony Obosh today, DJ AO on an Obosh rant with his hat.
You know what time it is. It's Obosh on Obosh rant time. How you doing, Bobs?
So why do you say... Ready? I'm about to school you on this. You say this is... Say it again.
You know what time it is. It's Obosh on the Obosh rant time.
Yeah. All right. Read that out. You know what time it is. It's Obosh on an Obosh rant time. Why do you throw the time at the end?
Because it's like, you know what type of time I'm on. Come on. You know what type of time I'm on. Obosh rant. It's a unique type of time. Like, I can't be saying la, 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 la. No, I have to be on an Obosh rant time. You know what's coming.
You know what time it is. It's time. No, you know what time it is. It's Obosh on Obosh rant time.
Yes. You already know.
You could just take the time off the end.
I didn't want your grammar. It builds up anticipation. I don't need your grammar correction. terrible English people.
The Voiceless Music Meetup happened over the weekend. This is Anthony Obosh, Syracuse University friend, longtime friend of the Bobcast. And he works for Voiceless Music, which... covers independent artists, makes them pay for their appearances.
How many times do we got to keep talking about this pay-to-play situation? How many times?
That would be a great conversation for the show today, though. We might as well start off with that. But first, I want to know, you had a networking event, Voiceless Music Meetup in the city over the weekend. How'd that go?
Oh, man, it was phenomenal. I mean, first of all, it was pouring raining. It was like... And then there was like a big flood in the backyard, too.
Where was it?
It was like in Brooklyn near Ohima's house. So it was like maybe 15 minutes out.
So Bushwick?
Bushwick, yeah.
No one knows who Ohima is.
Oh, Ohima's a good photographer. Check her out at Exposures by Ohima. Did she change that?
No, she did. It's Obscure Libra.
Libra. Yeah. So check out on Instagram. But they 15 minutes in Bushwick, Bushwick, Brooklyn, 15 minutes off the J line where Jay-Z lived. Yeah, so we had like 70 people in attendance. Regina gave like an artist panel talking about the importance of transcribing lyrics.
Regina Cho
gave a talk about, you know, using the proper transcribing lyrics, how to shoot your shots at, you know, media. See David talk about that. And we had a couple artists perform.
Was it your best event so far?
I only had two events yet. So, yeah, it was my best event.
What goes into that event planning?
A lot of financials, creativity, promotion, and being Obosh. When you Obosh, you could do anything.
How many people pulled up to the Voiceless Music Meetup?
70 people.
70?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did you give a speech?
I gave a brief speech, and then I left, because I had to run around all over the place.
You weren't at your own event?
Yeah, I had to go here, 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 here. like, we was, what did we have? I had to make sure the food was right. I had to make sure my seasoning was right. So, yeah.
Would you serve? That's key because so many of these events aren't providing food. We've talked about that over the years.
And I listened to you on this one. So we provided food for the people. We served burgers, hot dogs. I served shrimp, but that was my shrimp, so nobody was touching that. Yeah,
so it was so a cookout type John?
Cookout type John. You can't call it a John if it's a location. It's not a, it's a location.
That sounds like
John.
Something you would say, though.
No, that is incorrect. That's incorrect slang, Grandma. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
The funniest thing we ever talked about is the fact that you speak slang pretty much in two different languages.
I speak in two different languages. I speak it in, you know, Harlem slang, and I speak in Syracuse slang. Come on now.
We're talking about Voiceless Music. You started working with Voiceless Music a year ago, probably at this point?
It was about a year ago.
So what's Voiceless Music all about? We're going to get into the pay-for-play situation, but what was your first experience getting in with them?
So originally last year, I interned for a radio station called WVMR. I didn't really like the internship, but it was cool. They didn't pay me, so, you know, I was about to be out of there quickly.
Yeah.
Unpaid internships is terrible. But then he came up to me. He was like, you know, why don't you just work for us and stuff like that? And I was like, I'm not going to work for you guys, but if you put me, you know, as a good shareholder of the company, I'll be able to work for you. And, you know, currently I own 25% of the company. So I'm more enticed of any direction and company, all that good stuff. You know how that works out.
You got the numbers lined up?
What numbers?
The financials.
I always got the financials lined up. I always do. You see, I always do.
Obas goes to Whitman, so he knows everything about business, finance, impress points.
I don't do impress points. I have like 200 impress points, and I only been there for a year.
And that's why your house is losing. They got four houses at this place like it's Hogwarts.
No, my house won this year.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't Big Ben Wiener carrying you?
Nope, I carried the team because they had Obas. If you have Obas on your team, you're going to win.
You're not providing any impress points, though.
Yeah, because it's stupid. It's a stupid system.
So, Voiceless Music, what have you been up to throughout the school year? You're doing blog posts, you're doing production, you're doing all kinds of stuff, right?
I'm a mogul, so moguls are supposed to be involved in every aspect. So I do blogging, I do artist consultation, that's the word, consultation, yeah, boom, that's the word, blogging, what else, research, I do a lot of music research and in industry trends, yeah, that's pretty, event curation, promotion, marketing, anything you name in the music brand artist development aspect.
And you're pulling artists too, right? Who are some of your favorite artists you're working with?
Oh, man, I have a lot of artists that I work with. Nobody's my favorite. I think they're all terrible.
No, you gotta...
I think they're all terrible. I tell that to them in their face. I think you're terrible.
Do you help them improve the content, or is that beyond your grasp?
Well, I don't improve the content, but again, I improve how the content is delivered to the consumer. So that's basically why I'm doing this. But I do help out with the content, too, on some asks sometimes, but I try not to because I believe that the artists should have 100% control over their creativity.
Yeah, for sure. But what do you think ultimately is the more important? We talk about this a lot. What's more important at the end of the day, especially with the Bobcast as we're sitting here, is the content going to be more important that's going out to the people, or is it going to be the distribution making people know what the Bobcast is?
I think for me, it's, you know, the content will always be relatively great, you know, with anything you do, but it's how you get it out to people and people knowing the Bobcast. You know what I'm saying? Understanding.
So the Bobcast could be the best thing in the world, but if it isn't delivered the right way, you don't think it could be a success?
No, not at all. People will say the content is good, but yet to have the content be better, you have to deliver it properly.
Now, music's tricky in that regard because I think there's a lot of artists who take pride in being low-key and having, like, an immense quality or intricacy to what they're doing that only a select number of people can find. And maybe if your goal is to make a lot of money, that's not the best way to do it. But I think there are some people who take pride in having, like, a low-key thing that only a small collection of people know about.
Yeah, like, look at J. Cole. I mean, J. Cole barely
No,
he,
J. Cole is not. I'm talking, like, notoriety and sales and all of that.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Like a J. Dilla. J. Dilla doesn't have a hit.
But the thing is, he has a core fan base, though.
Yeah.
And wait until I have an article coming out about this. DJ Booth just created a whole chart about this, about sales and fandom. So I have an article coming out in like 2 weeks about this.
J. Cole did dominate the charts, though, with his last album, which I still think is so surprising. Because there was probably a time, mixtape J. Cole, you could look at him and say, all right, that's a guy who has a core fan base, who isn't fixated on the numbers and this and that. It's just, he's a hidden gem. That's what it
right.
is.
Exactly.
But he eventually evolved into more of a commercial artist himself.
That's what you have to do at times. You have to figure out a way to be a commercialized artist first and then kind of draw back in a situation. That's what I think that art artists should do in a sense.
I look at a guy like Earl Sweatshirt, because you could say Frank Ocean perhaps falls in that category, but he has hits. Like, I look mm-hmm. at a guy who doesn't have hits, who isn't out there like that, who has a strong, strong fan base, and there's massive hype for his releases because they're so spare. But he doesn't seem to have a desire to go big.
Right. I think another person I'll put in that category, see, shout out to Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle's a really good one.
Nipsey Hussle.
Although I think he's going to progress into a commercial force.
Exactly. So, I mean, Nipsey Hussle is another great independent artist I look up to. His whole monologue and, not monologue, but his whole, like, catalog and stuff like that. He's definitely a good example of, you know, fandom and sales. I mean, the last one he did, Victory Lap. Victory Lap pushed a lot of units, especially for a guy that's not signed to a label, that doesn't have proper resources.
Do you take a lot of pride in the artists you're working with being independent, and do you aim for them to stay that way? Or are you trying to get these people deals?
So the situation is, I have two situations for them. The biggest goal for them is to have a steady income off their music. Like, Bobby, if you wanted to make $40,000 and sing la-di-da-di-da, slob on me now, then, hey, that's your income. That's your income for X, Y, and Z for the year. You know what I'm saying? Your music determines your value. You know what I'm saying? But I want to have them have a steady income where gradually they don't have to work a full-time job. They could work a part-time job and they could do their music, or they could just go full-time into their music.
You're working a job at the YMCA.
Well, the thing is, I don't even work at the YMCA like that. You see how I do? I worked, I like literally took 3 days off this week.
You were going to skip the YMCA to come on the Bobcast.
I told you I was, because listen, that's a whole different story about organizational structure and all this other shit. I don't got time for that.
You do notice, working at these places when you're just trying to make a little money on the side, how engulfed people can get in their work. And when you even just try to dive a little bit into work, you realize how disruptive it can be for what you're trying to get at. But I saw DJ Luna say something about this not too long ago, the fact that she's able to work 9 to 5, clock out, and not even think about work. And I think that's wildly impressive. If you're able to work a regular job like that and then completely cut it off from your mind for the rest of the day, I think that can be a hard thing for people to do.
Exactly. The thing about a 9 to 5, it has that financial security. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a secure check every 2 weeks, you know, every week or every month. You know what I mean? That's the thing about 9 to 5. The ideal situation about being an entrepreneur, you might not see a check for a whole, you know, month or a whole 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying?
You think you can successfully do both at the same time the way she's trying to do it?
To a degree, yes, and to a degree, no. That kind of contradicts each other. It's right there in the middle like this. Ah. But the situation is, I don't think you could do both, because you're sitting here putting an effort into one and then you're putting an effort into another. Like, you're putting 50-50 when realistically you should be putting 75-25. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it carries over. Like, no matter how much you're working, you're always going to think about work things and the fact that you're working tomorrow and you get in at this time. And, like, your whole day becomes dictated around it. I feel like it's just hard to find that mental space between you and that work.
And it becomes bland. Like, it's just repetitive. Like, you wake up at 9, you go to bed at 5. And it's the same routine. Like,
yeah.
The thing about being an entrepreneur, you know, the entrepreneur, you get to wake up at 11. Some days you get to wake up at 8, you know what I mean?
But you need the capital, like you say. You need the capital.
You always need the capital. I always say that. So, this is like, I worked at the YMCA currently now because I need the capital. But did I didn't really need the capital, to be honest, because I saved a lot of money.
So you want to go to Hong Kong?
Yeah, so I'm going to Hong Kong to study abroad.
Is it for sure?
I just finished. I'm talking to a couple people. It can happen. I just got to get my money to use so I can spend
out
there.
We were all stunned to hear that you're going to go to Hong Kong. Do you think you'll be able to assimilate to the culture?
I'm one of my sponsors out there, so
it's gonna be culture shock.
It is gonna be a culture shock for me. But once my sponsor's out there, me and him gonna mess it up, and we're gonna do some great things.
Oh, you're gonna have a sponsor?
Well, my sponsor's out there. He sponsored me when I was in high school, so he's out there. So we're gonna have a good time and just be chilling.
He was sponsoring you in high school, and now he's gonna sponsor you in Hong Kong?
No, he's just gonna come out there, and we're gonna fuck it up out there.
So, what are you trying to accomplish in Hong Kong? You just trying to enjoy yourself?
No, the goal is to, one, figure out what music is out there in Hong Kong. The ideal situation is
that... Do you already know about something?
I know about two things. I know that pop is very popular out there. They've been trying to get hip-hop out there.
Pop is very popular.
Pop is very popular.
The hip's very hop.
the hip is very hop. You know how we work. But, The pop is very pop. So I'm trying to sign an artist from Hong Kong, and hopefully that he'll be able to make that money out there. I could hopefully bring that Hong Kong artist to the United States.
You got an Obas rant hat. Who made that?
Shout outs to Prophet P. Prophet P has a radio station from 5 to 7. He has a radio slot from 5 to 7 on WVMR, so he made the hat. He made the Obas rant hat.
Are they for sale?
I have to figure it out. I'm still kind of customizing a lot of it, but for now it's just for to give to people, my true fans and my true people.
How important do you think merchandise is to a brand?
Oh,
does the Bobcast need shirts?
Yes, the Bobcast needs shirts so that people. So the brand needs the merch needs to speak for itself when people see it. So when people see hashtag Obas Rant, I don't even have to say. You know what time it is. It's Obas on Obas Rant time. They already know what the situation is.
How do you feel to see other people starting to do Obas Rants?
It's great. I mean, like, shout out to Apollo. Apollo's from Boston. I found somebody in Boston. I found another person from Chicago doing it as well, too. And it feels good that people are doing it because, you know, you have a lot of, we have a lot of stuff to get off our chest. We have, you know, subs. We have dumb stuff. So, yeah, that's why I want to give to everybody. I want to empower people's story, empower people's, you know, anger and use that to fuel the, you know, fuel the release.
Do you have an Obas rant for the Bobcast right now?
I don't have an Obas rant
for
the Bobcast.
Yeah, you do. Come on. You always have one.
No, I don't.
Yes,
I really
you
don't.
You can drum one up. You stir controversy and anger and drama like nobody else. So you on the spot right now could easily do an Obas rant.
That is not true. There's only one Obas rant that's been on my mind. So,
there you go.
Here we go.
Ready? So, do it with the intro and everything.
All right, so here we go. You know what time it is. You know what time it is. It's Obas on an Obas rant time. Yo, I am sick and tired of people always trying to copy me, and they know that they can't. Like, I am the original Obas. I am the original one. They can't. Like, I don't know why people try to. Man.
Have you seen a lot of people trying to be like Obas?
Oh, I've seen people copy the Obas rant. I've seen people try to copy. Literally, I seen somebody copy my event just now. Like, maybe, like, yesterday.
They're trying to make their own voiceless music meetup?
It's kind of the same thing. Or they've used, you know, people that was there. Or they took a little combination of me and another person. Like, it's just mad coincidental stuff.
Yeah. So, let's get into that talk of pay for play in the hip-hop industry. There's just been such an overcrowding at the bottom of people trying to make it to the top. There's a very limited space at the top, and even just past that barrier where you can make music your job, which is what you said you're trying to accomplish to do, but for people who are working the 9-to-5, trying to grind on the side, or even just diving all the way into that outlet, there's a lot of desperation to get past that point where you can sustain yourself with notoriety and have a fan base and this and that, to where you can focus 100% on the music. So people in this intense crunch to get there, where there's so much competition, there's so many other people trying to do the same thing, they're starting to pay their way to shows. where shows would previously and conventionally pay artists to perform there. Now the artists are paying the outlets, the places of distribution to get their stuff out there. So instead of being paid to do what they're doing, they are paying to do what they're doing. And that just, we just talked about free internships. Doesn't that seem a little negative?
Let me tell you about the idea of pay to play. So I'm gonna tell you about tier three. So the pay to play, people say pay to play is a scam. You've said it multiple times. Pay to play is terrible.
Windows A too.
And he said it's a scam. Now let me tell you. Now look at the opposite of this, Bobby. How many of those artists that pay to play can bring 50 plus people to their events? How many of those artists can bring, like, seriously, how many of them?
At that point, I just don't think you pay. You would choose the best of the best if you're that business to bring them in.
Exactly. This is what, and this is why I hate when people say pay to play, it's a scam. Pay to play is not a scam. It's how you invest your money into what you're doing. You don't have to do pay to play. You can easily, Bobby, you can easily take you and say, it's Bobcast opening up, and then it's Lindo Z as the headliner. Cool. Do that. But you have to think about certain expenses. Expenses, venues cost about $200 to about close to $1,800, right? That's one. Second thing is, you also have to, so now how are you going to, the second thing also is like, are you going to be able to bring a crowd to match that money and make profit? And a lot of these artists who are in this tier three range can't do that.
Now, it certainly makes sense for the businesses. Like you said, they need to make ends meet. And if they're not bringing in a crowd as artists, then they're going to have to find another way to pull the income. But as an artist, how are you ever going to flip from paying to do what you do to getting paid? How are you going to be able to flip that script?
So I've told artists this, how they could flip it. The way that they have to flip it is with three things. Two things. The first thing is they have to pay for things that are very cheap. Example, like the Voices Meetup. The Voices Meetup was $25 for a 10-minute set, but it came with a free blog at their disposal. At their disposal, whenever they want to. So whenever they want to get a free blog press, they can hit me up and say, I want to cover my EP, and that's a free one. So then it comes with, the package came with WVMR rotation, so they get radio rotation. And they get a little bit of photography and a little bit of videography. And I guarantee them, I guarantee them people for them to network with. Make sense? So you have to figure out where you put your money in. But you have to figure out where you put your money in. That's a good investment because you're getting five things and you get to perform for the price of $25. That's a good deal right there. So that's a good investment. But then, hold on, give me 1 second. Then you have these big brands like Hot 97, Power 105.1, who do these things called, I don't remember. But they do like these events where they'll say, you know, pay $500 and you get to meet Atlantic Record executive Eric Bobby do. And right? So you end up paying $500. You don't win the competition. You just lost $500. That $500 could have been invested in what? A music video that had $300 in budget, and you could have bought a venue to perform your personal self.
It does become interesting as those other added benefits come in. But at the same time, the balance is just so swayed in the venue's favor, I feel like. And we just read about in that article that this conversation stems from. They don't necessarily have to pull through with all the promises they make because they have all the leverage in that factor. If they're being paid to get both the like supply and the demand, they have all the leverage in that.
Exactly. But here's the situation is that you as an art, this is where I'm advocating a ton of artists to start having more financial literacy. What I mean by that is that they need to figure out what money that they have and where to invest it in. So an example with, I'm using an example. I told an artist, listen, you have $200 now, invest it in a venue. If the venue doesn't give you the door, then you don't invest in that. You know what I'm saying? Find an open space. Do your own event for $200. You know, like the Living Gallery I did was $475. But I wouldn't be able to pay off it if we didn't do it as a collective. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now it reduced the cost for these artists to book, you know, these venues for $200, and it gave them a set. It gave them a set for them to perform, and they performed in front of 70 people. The situation of play to pay, the pay to play, it's just you got to know where to invest your money in and who you're investing your money in. The venue's going to win at the end of the day if you know how to bring in people. That is like a security thing, you know?
What do you think about the fact that your platform's driven by the people and the things you're writing about, the fact that people are paying for the blog posts? Like, doesn't that inherently influence the way you're coming at the topic? Like, wouldn't someone paying you to write about them create, like, an expectation within you to be more positive?
But here's the situation, though. And then, you know what's funny, though? We actually cut out the sense of paying for blogs now. Now we do blogs for free.
Really?
Now we do blogs for free. And then the situation is artists still won't repost their blogs. They won't use that in terms of their press kit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now it's like we're doing all these...
It's not effective, you found?
I found it to not be effective. So now we charge people $10 for a blog post. You know, we charge 10 people $10 for a blog post. They don't repost. They don't do it. We do it for free, and it's still ineffective. So it's just like now it comes to the situation is like, what the hell do you want? Seriously. Mm-hmm. And art and a lot the artists that I work with on a day-to-day basis do not have direction on how to take their project and market it. They don't have direction. They don't have any of that. And that's why those a lot of these tier three artists and some of these tier two artists are in a mess up is are in the position that they are in now.
So how are you doing sleep wise? Have you been drinking Sleepy Time tea?
No, I haven't been drinking any Sleepy Time tea. I've been completely, like, ever since the event, my sleeping pattern has been so off. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, that weekend that I did the event, Friday, I came home at 6 a.m., drunk. Then I came home so drunk. And then and my boy Seth, my co-partner for the event.
Seth Dollar,
he woke me up at 11 a.m. ringing my bell like crazy. So then we had to spend 11 a.m. all the way to 1 a.m. that Saturday. We had to move, get like, you know, microphones and everything for the event. And then we didn't go to bed until like 3 a.m. And then we had to wake up at 8 a.m. to get ready for the events. And then again, I had to wake up on Monday because I had work. I didn't even go to work on Monday, Tuesday. Nope, not doing it.
So you haven't even needed Sleepy Time tea?
No, because my body's been dead.
I woke up at 4 a.m. the other day, and I couldn't get back to sleep, so I just decided to start the day. I went and got the Cane's Donuts. I ran on the beach, and my day was underway at 4 a.m., and it just felt so good. But I don't think I could ever flip around my sleep schedule to where I'm getting up that early in the morning, because then I'm cutting off the nights. The night's such a key time.
It is. It's a good time for reflection. It's a good time for writing. Like, I love the nighttime. And it's a nighttime for partying as well, too.
Yeah. That's the Bobcast this week. We'll see you next week, old bass.
All right, peace.
So that's where I got it from, Dave.
Bobcast.